produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Good Times was an American sitcom that shared about an African-American family that aired between 1974 and 1979. It aired on the CBS station and was created by Eric Munty and a young man by the name of Mike Evans. It was developed by Norman Lear, who had also developed groundbreaking sitcoms such as All in the Family and The Jefferson. This particular show was noted because it was one of the few shows that highlighted black family living in the inner city projects of Chicago, Illinois. The series focused on the Evans family. There was a strong male in the house that served as the patriarch. His name was James Evans. Y'all can say amen if you can be with the character. There was a matriarch in the house that served as his bride, his wife. Her name was Florida. Yes. Then they had three children, if you remember those kids. Youngest son, if I can mention him first, was named Michael. Mike was very young, very intelligent. He was kind of a political political advocate, if I will. Very, very in tune with social injustice. And then there was that beautiful young lady, their daughter, the middle child, and you know her name. Her name was Thelma. Thelma seemed to be the voice of reason in the family. That whenever there was an issue, she had the ability and she had the grace to calm everybody down. And then there was another character who became the outbreak character of the whole sitcom. Amen. This character was named JJ. And y'all know what JJ said, didn't you? JJ said, this is kid what?
Dynamite.
That was JJ. JJ, for some reason, was very impulsive. This JJ, for some reason, was very naive. This JJ, for some reason, had this nature, a natural proclivity to be mischievous. And because of his characteristic, JJ always stayed in trouble. Always found himself in an uncomfortable predicament. But there was one quality about JJ that overruled all of the rest of them. And that was the fact that JJ was always optimistic. I don't care how bad things got. I don't care how bleak things were. JJ always put a smile on everybody's face.
Yeah.
I remember being 5 years old, nestled on the couch between my grandmother and my grandfather, watching Good Times. Now, for me, remember the family found themselves in a pickle. Seemed like it was unescapable, tumultuous, very difficult circumstance. And I remember JJ pulled the family together, and he said one thing. JJ said, "Together we stand, divided we fall."
All right.
And that resonated from that day even unto now. From me being 5 years old to now me being 35 years old.
All right.
Why y'all laughing? The family had shared some struggle. The family faced poverty, racism. The family faced crime. But in all the things the family faced together, the harder things got, the more you saw they loved one another in the midst. It seemed as if to say that hard times always reveal the strength of the family. And you don't know how strong a family is until you see and witness a family become weak. And that's when you know if a family is really qualified to walk in good times. Because they understand how to navigate the tumultuous seasons of bad events. And when we look back over this thing called ministry at Salem Baptist Church, it seems to me to suggest this morning a feeling somewhat parallel symbolism. It invoked the sentiments that even as we part our minds and part our reflection at this particular place, at this particular time, our community, our church family, our membership, we have had our shares of ups and downs. Oh, y'all ain't gonna say amen, let's be honest. We have had our shares of struggles. We've had our shares of disappointment. We've had our shares of challenges. But through it all, the hardship reveals the depth of our faith, the immense power of our God. It reveals the power of the Holy Spirit. It reveals the strength of our fellowship. And more importantly, it reveals to us the bond, the unbreakable bond that we as a church family have when we pull ourselves together and encourage one another and live out the very essence of what good time really is. You ought to tell somebody, we've been through some storms. We've been through some trials. We've been through some promotional situation. But if you don't have anything to shout about this morning, let me pause and give you a moment to think about it. You're still here. You're still here. I'm still here. We're still here. And the only reason we survive it all is because of the power of God that resides in our spirit. It's a good time. Did you hear what I said? I don't care how bad things are in your life, I think it's a good time. I don't care how difficult things may have been, even in your route to church this morning, it is a good time. What is a good time? It's a good time to give God some praise. Good time to acknowledge Him. Why are you praising Him? Because of His faithfulness. His thoughts concerning you. Because of His hands of protection upon your life. Because of the providential will He has forced upon you. And because He has blocked the intercessor of your sins. I'm telling you all, you ought to thank God for what He's done for you in your life. Solomon seems to have the true recipe, the antidote for having bad times. Before there was JJ, there was an illegitimate child in biblical antiquity that was born into royalty named Solomon. And Solomon seems to suggest that he has the antidote to every societal issue that one may face in their lives. And he sits down and he pens Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 9. And he shares with us to encourage us, to teach us how to learn on each other, but he lean on each other. He teaches us how to partner together. He teaches us how to fellowship. He teaches us how to hold things together when everything seemingly are falling apart. He says that you ought to be so close that one cannot fall without the other.
That's what he says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. But if they fall, one will lift up their brother. If they fall, one will lift up their sister. If they fall, one will lift up their fellow member, church member, whoever it may be. If they fall, somebody, the indication is this, somebody should be there to catch them.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And how can you catch them if you're not in close proximity? Let's talk about this thing that Solomon said, if I can flesh it through the lenses of my mind, reflecting over 20 years. How can we be stronger as a bonding family? Let me tell you the first thing you understand. If you're going to survive tumultuous storms in your life and survive as a family, be it church family or intimate personal family, the first thing you got to understand is that partnership creates strength.
Yeah.
Partnership provides strength. What do you mean, preacher? In 20 years of me coming to this church, journeying back and forth to this place, I have discovered in my personal time of reflection that there are two fundamental principles that serve as the bedrock of effective ministry, and you can't be effective or successful without them. The first principle is division, and the second principle is multiplication. The essence of division in ministry is simply found by this. It does not mean you create separation by dividing things in the church. It means you allocate responsibility from one member to another. It's this strategy that empowers the church to function as a body, that even though the body has different parts that operate in different roles and have different responsibilities, at the end of the day, every member of the body serves one purpose. And even though they are distinctly unique in their calls, they are still called to operate under one agenda.
Yeah.
Now I understand that everybody can't do everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it should never be that nobody does nothing.
All right.
Oh, y'all really clapped on that.
Yeah.
Look at the name, say everybody can't do everything.
Everybody can't do everything.
But somebody ought to do something. Oh, you can do something. I know you think you're doing something by coming to this church and sitting down with your pretty dress and your pretty suit on, and you have sufficed your responsibility. The devil's a lie. There are so much that can be done in this body that you can put your hands on something and be a blessing to somebody in this church. Everybody should be clapping. And when you learn to do something, you eliminate the space for the devil to do anything in your midst. The devil don't attack those who are working hard, busy. He attacks those who are idle and lazy and those who procrastinate. That's who he invades. He invades their minds because their minds are not on positive things. And so when you come to church, you must understand that it's your responsibility to allow yourself to embrace being divided into various roles. Because when you do it right and you understand the purpose of the vision and shared responsibility, it don't just add up, it multiplies. How does it multiply, Angie? It multiplies because you have given the Holy Spirit something to work with. It multiplies because it changes your perspective. I'm not naive. I understand it happens in every church. People get disgruntled and people get frustrated and people say they want to leave because they can't get anything out of the church. I don't get anything out of it. I don't get anything out of the preaching. I don't get anything out of Sunday school. I don't get anything out of Bible class. I don't get anything out of Sunday morning worship. Let me tell you why. It's impossible to get anything out of something if you never put anything in it. Yeah, but your name, he's not talking about you. I'm talking about the person that was in your seat last week. How do people expect to make great withdrawals consistently and they never put in even the main thing, just minor deposit into something? You got to invest in order to expect results out of it. Who dare expect a harvest and never plant a seed? I know this generation does, but how dare anyone expect a check and never clock in to go to work?
Yeah.
And how can anybody expect to benefit from their church and they never serve?
Amen.
I know you've never heard this before. Let me be the first to grace your ears. We are called to serve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hallelujah, preacher. We are called to serve. We are called to work. We are called to activate our gifts in the thing that we call the body of Christ. We are called to be a part of something that we put ourselves to work. We're not called to titles. We're not called to sit on the front row. We're not called to any of that stuff. We're not called to get recognition. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to be servants of the Most High God. We're Christians. And the reason we're Christians is because we are followers of Christ. And if we are following Christ, then we must do what Christ did. And Christ prayed for others. Christ served other people. Christ leaned in and interceded for other people. Christ was a voice for the voiceless. He was hope for the hopeless. He delivered the sick. He, y'all ain't saying nothing. I didn't ask you when the last time you came to church. That's not my concern, to be honest with you. I'm glad you're here, but that's not my concern. My concern is simply this. When was the last time you served the church? Y'all act like it's a hard sermon to swallow. I think it's the quietest congregation I've had in 20 years. Y'all miss it. That's what it is, ain't it, Sister Dark? You're taking it all in.
Amen.
Retrospectively, I asked myself the question. When was the last time I really served in the fashion that God would have me as the pastor of the church? Is it my responsibility to stand behind the sacred desk and hark her orders? You do this and you do that. You do this. Your assignment is this and that. Could it be possible every now and then that it's more effective for me to be seen doing as opposed to being there and heard talking? When you see me asking Sandra members, how you doing? I mean it.
Amen.
When you hear me saying I'm praying for them, Sister Clem, I mean that.
Amen.
When you hear me say I thought about you last week in that job interview, I mean that. And I prayed for people who didn't pray for me. I spoke up for folks who did not speak up for me. But I'm not understanding why you believe that you ought to get something out of church when you use your mind to take away from the church. God is my mark. Whatever a man soweth. Women don't think you're exempt because it's just say women. That's generic. Whatever man or woman saw, that's still a weak. If you want a generous church, you have to learn to be generous. If you want a compassionate church, you have to learn to be compassionate. If you want a well-read, disciple church, then you have to learn to be disciple. If you want a church filled with the word, then it's helping you study your own word. The indictment always falls on the pulpit. I can't get a word when I go there. You can't get a word if you haven't spent any time with the word. You don't need a pastor to give you a word. Your pastor ought to be confirmed with the word that God already gave you. But if you didn't give your pastor not the word, then you're straight with it. I couldn't preach this 20 years ago. I didn't have the wisdom. I didn't have the experience. I had grown in this area, but now I understand better. I understand that it takes all of us to make the church what it's called to be. It takes you, it takes you, it takes me, it takes her, it takes you, even musicians. You're not paid and hired employees, you're serving the Most High God. Sometimes you have to show up without the check. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me. Amen. Sometimes folks always want to talk about what the pastor is getting, but they don't ever want to talk about what the pastor has gained.
Amen.
I preached without a check.
Amen.
I preached when we didn't have money to pay me.
Amen.
I didn't leave this church. I didn't talk about this church. I worked hard.
Amen.
So God, if there's a deficit, is it me? If you're not providing, Am I the one that's the cause of it? Or are you trying to teach me something? Are you trying to train me how to operate out of a place of character? Because if only I'm here for a check, then I don't get very much of it. Y'all ain't saying nothing to him. Y'all ain't saying nothing to him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because they'll talk about your pastor based on what the pastor get. But I never heard anybody brag about what the pastor gave them in private.
Amen.
All right,
Pastor.
All right.
Everybody saying amen.
Amen.
I don't live in Covenant.
Amen.
My might be a couple members like gas and water. But I paid some lights and comfort.
Amen.
My refrigerator's at my house, but I feel some refrigerators and comfort. Y'all ain't talking back to me. They always talk about what the pastor ain't doing, but have amnesia about what he's done. I can't say this, Brother Joe, that I did it alone. It was all of us. We came together under vision. We came together under purpose. But do y'all remember that we literally fed Tipton County single-handed by ourselves? And you remember those hot days on the streets of Covenant and 95 degree weather. You remember when we stood out there on the street passing out food, passing out boxes, 200 families being served. And let me tell you something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 families coming back 5 times to get it. We never turned them back.
Amen.
We did it together.
Amen.
We worked together. Amen. We served together.
Amen.
We fellowship together. Mm-hmm. We met needs together.
Yeah.
Because we understood that together we stand.
Yeah.
But divided we fall. Yeah. Oh, everybody pray. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. Everybody pray. Look, I see you back. I said everybody pray. I will call you out. Stop that, everybody. I love singing. It's fun. Ministry can be hard. It's joyous. Ministry can be sad. I don't know what has happened that people seem to relish division in the church. I don't know what has happened that we seem to think it's a sin to join hand with our pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, God.
It's not a sin to support your pastor.
Amen.
It's not a sin to help your pastor.
Amen.
It's not a sin to pray for your pastor.
Amen.
It's not a sin to serve with your pastor.
Amen.
You're not serving me. We're serving God.
Yeah.
It's just an act of solidarity, an act of Bible foundation, biblical formation. When we come together to serve together and drop the titles and lift up the blood and claim man of Jesus Christ, God give us strength. God give us power. God give us grace. God give us favor. God give us resource. God give us relationship. God give us influence. God give us a stage and a platform to highlight his work and to highlight his will and to highlight his grace and to highlight his forgiveness and to highlight his willingness to bring people out of tough conditions. God give as we give to him. And if we're not receiving from God, it's because we have canceled out the opportunity to give to God. Look at somebody, tell me it's not a sin. To serve with your pastor. It's not a sin. To lift him up by prayer. It's not a sin. To give encouragement to your pastor. Let it be said. Captain, let it be said to the next generation that we didn't shy away from the word. Let it be said to the up-and-coming generation that this church fought against poverty.
Yes.
This church stood against economical disparity. Let it be said, this church fought against homelessness. Let it be said, this church served underprivileged students in the education system. Let it be said that we help people who abuse or abuse substances. Let it be said that this church came together and we stood against domestic violence. Let it be said that this church took on social injustice and any issues that this society put in front of this church. Let it be said that we spoke up against those who were doing wrong in our county. We spoke against governments. We spoke against law enforcement. When they violated, we activated it. Let it be said that we may be small in number, but we are great in the power of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Let it be said that we stood. Y'all gonna stand with me? We stood for something. Because we know if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. We are a wise congregation. We are a very disciplined congregation. We are a word-filled congregation. We are an educated congregation. We are a Holy Ghost-filled congregation. We are a congregation that is infused by the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. We are a congregation of God. Look at somebody and tell them, we're kingdom.
We're kingdom.
We're not just church members. There's a lot of churches. There's a lot of church members, but we are kingdom members. Partnership creates strength. But also, watch this, partnership provides support. It's right there in verse 10. Watch the support. But if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he had not another to help him up. Mm-hmm. And truth be told, all of us have fallen.
Yes.
All of us have fallen.
Yes.
Ministry does not immune you from having situations that causes challenges or setbacks. All of us have had our share. In fact, the more attached you are to ministry, the more you're targeted by challenges and setbacks. But I came to tell somebody that when you have support, support is not just enough about, let me put it this way. Support is not just about putting you back on your feet, but support is about getting you back on your feet so you can find somebody else to help them get themselves back on their feet as well. Let's go a little while. Think for a moment. Allow your mind to go deep in the crevices of your thoughts. And keep in mind what ministry is. Ministry is built on reciprocity. You hear what I say in church? Ministry is built on reciprocity.
All right.
How dare anyone expect to receive and not expect to give?
All right.
The one the gospel writes to give, it shall be given unto you.
Yeah.
Reciprocity. Okay. We have to be just as eager to sow as we are gathering the harvest.
Amen.
We gotta stop coming to church with I gotta get this and I gotta get that attitude. And we gotta figure out a way how can we come and reverse engineer that concept into how can I find some way to give? How can I find a way to serve? How can I find a way to help? How can I find a way to assist? Lord, give me the sermon. Even though they're smiling, let me know if they're hurting. Lord, give me discernment. Even though they say good morning, let me know they're having a bad day.
Yeah.
Lord, give me discernment. Yeah. Even though they pull up in that long car with that crushed velvet leather and all of those three identities, maybe they're behind in their car. Lord, give me discernment.
Yeah.
I support as a pastor in a multifaceted way. I give guidance. I give intercession. I give emotional comfort. I give counseling. I give financial aid. I give crisis intervention. I give discipleship. I give my presence. If I don't have anything, I just show up because my presence speaks volumes. I give conflict resolution. I give motivation. I give personal development. I give protection. I give hope. I give salvation. I give restoration. I give career advice. I give all of these things and even give vision and administration. And then when I finish giving all of that, I still have the requirement to mount the sacred desk and preach a word on Sunday morning. You say all the pastor does is preach. The devil is a liar. I do so much more before I reach this spot. I am not your preacher. I am your pastor.
Y'all
don't know what a pastor is. I am not your preacher. I'm your pastor. A preacher come in and drop a word and leave with no responsibility. But if I prophesy, that prophecy better come to pass because my integrity is on the line. If I say, thus saith the Lord, I am here with you, and you would know if my word have value because you would see whether or not my word will manifest. If I say there is a vision from heaven, you will have eyes to see if that vision manifests. Don't ever reduce your man of God. And for anybody who's listening on Facebook, whether your man or woman of God, never reduce them just to being a speaker. Ain't nobody saying amen. Amen. Because I know some good speakers, and I know some good preachers that preach. But they have no anointing. They have no grace. They can't lay hands on dead people and they get up again. Y'all seen it happen. We have raised the dead in our church twice. They can't give people the power to recover from sickness. They have no anointing to profess, prophetically. They have no power. And contrary to what you believe, I am not called to tempt you emotionally. I'm not a singer. I don't come here to sing myself. I'm not a musician. I'm not looking for E flat. I'm looking for who life I can change.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Keep in mind, in case they forgot, Mr. Lee reminded them that I'm doing all of that while I have my own job.
Thank you.
Dealing with the problems there and dealing with the problems of my own family.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that I'm doing all that simultaneously while serving the people of God. But it ain't just enough to talk about the partnership that provides support for the pastor. But sometimes I got to make it really known that I could not do what I do if many of you don't do what you do.
Amen.
Everybody should clap. Thank you, brother. Love him. Many of you don't know this. He don't want anybody to know. I got to tell it this morning. That was a time that I was in a very bad financial place. Very bad. Literally couldn't even buy food. I got the idea that I had to cut grass. It's the only thing I could do that would allow me the time to do it because I was working. You know, it's hard to be a pastor and find a part-time job. Because y'all won't be at the birthday parties. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
All right,
want me to come to PTA meeting. One member called one day, want me to bury her dog. You remember that, don't you, Miss Ruby?
All right,
talk to me 2 hours about this particular person deceased. And here it was, I was making plans, trying to find what suit I was going to wear to the funeral. And she said, Pastor, I'm thinking I'm bury the dog in the backyard. I was broke for the job. And I needed money. And I was cutting grass, making a little change just to feed my family. That old lowdown spook for the devil caused my lawnmower to break down. And I called Brother Booker not to ask for anything, just to voice my opinion, let off some steam, share my frustration. He said, Pastor, can you meet me at Home Depot? I said, that seemed like an odd request. I need prayer. He's talking about going to Home Depot. And I met him at Home Depot. He came out with this huge box with a lawnmower in it. Put it in my truck. I said, Pastor, you don't owe me a thing.
Amen.
Somebody thank God for them. Went to St. Louis.
Thank you, God.
Support Sandra because she's so precious to this church.
Amen.
And I wanted to be there with her. It was a rare moment, but I decided to go.
Amen.
didn't share anything with anybody. Elder Rosemary Jones at a gas station sold it to my life.
Amen.
As if she knew my personal business.
Amen.
For that I say thank you.
Amen.
I got some of these stories you would tell about. 20 years of support. 20 years of love, of discernment. I remember a time I was standing in church. Brother Larry walked so gracefully from the back of the church with his hands clutched. How this man's getting ready to knock the hell out of me. Sister Fanny comes to me and he said, Pastor, give me your hand. I extended my hand and I felt something
transition
from his to mine.
Yes.
He had sold into my life.
Amen.
I say thank you.
Thank you.
I've always been a visionary.
Amen.
And they're going to continue to sow it.
Yes, God.
I've always been a visionary. I've always seeked not just to help my church, but the community at large. And y'all all work hard, for some of you don't, but I do. I have to meet with so many people trying to see who is God partnering with me to serve the underprivileged. And I remember we were celebrating the opportunity we had to serve this community just months ago. Perhaps it was Thanksgiving. We were going to feed the community totally free. And we had a deficit. We had a shortage. A gentleman came to me and said, Pastor, how can I give? And I brushed him off to some degree and said, talk to Brother Booker. I'm thinking to myself, I got a deficit to deal with. I got a need that has to be met. And I'm trying to figure out where the money gonna come from. Mm-hmm. Little did I know the money was standing in my face. Brother Butler says, so-and-so gave X amount of dollars. Huh?
All right.
I only needed this much.
Okay, God.
All right.
God tripled it.
All right.
God chastised me. Because I was trying to predict where my blessing was going to come from. And didn't even realize it was standing in front of my face. Brother Lee, stand up. Stand up, Brother Lee. Y'all are going to stand up. Clap for him. Are y'all thought it was about my celebrating 20 years? It's about us celebrating 20 years. A group of leaders, we rode all the way to Clarksville, Tennessee. Because I wanted to expand their minds. I wanted them to see what a church looked like that's operating in a certain land of vision that I couldn't find locally. So I spared no expense. I went all the way to Clarksville to give them a touch of what I was trying to show them. And while we were there in Clarksville, we went to a gas station. It's something about gas stations in Salem, members. I think next week we're going to go take a trip to a gas station. Get the van going, brother. I need 15 of y'all to follow me to the Salem gas station. I was coming out the gas station, and the brother was going in, and the brother handed me a Benjamin.
All right,
Pastor.
Lord have mercy. This man gave me $100 without being prompted, without being asked. He just was led by the Spirit. And this person at that time wasn't necessarily in a comfortable position. But I had been praying for them. That God would change things in their life. And I can say today, God's been good to them. God's been good to them. I take this brother
I was giving him an assignment. I take this brother. Brother told me, Pastor, I'm getting that bag. I'm at work. I said, man, go and get that bag. Stand up, brother. Before she even walked out the door, sent the money to my wife. Oh. I said to myself, at least you could have gave it back to me. But you know what? Angie did a good thing.
Amen.
She was sewing into my wife. Stand up, Whitney. Whitney sold both to my wife and me. Wow. Elder, I got so much money that day because I sold it to somebody else. And to Brother Larry's point, as I was sowing, God was sowing that to me. He showed me what it means to be pressed down and shaken together and allowed me to give into my bosom. And I never quit giving. I never quit going. I never quit hiding. I never quit believing in God. I learned how to have good times in bad things. Don't y'all get mad at me. I was a little nappy-haired boy running around this church driving me crazy. 20 years ago, he was just jumping, starting running across the church. I was young, Miss Cooper didn't understand how blessed it was to have children. Just naive, lack wisdom, arrogant and cocky. When I'm up, they ought to sit down. When I'm preaching, everything needs to be in order. Didn't understand then like I know now how it's a blessing to have children in the church. Yeah. And I take my children seriously. I know folks get mad, but I hold folks accountable that's over my children. Because I don't know what these kids are going to grow up to be. But one thing they were not growing to be, they were not growing to be neglected. They were not growing to be overlooked. They were not growing to have anybody not watch over their lives. I know now better than I know then. I stood up. I said, somebody get that boy. Sit that child down. I remember Sister Renee. I remember. It wasn't Renee I was worried about. Late Brother Jesse Hill. Man was so quiet and so nice. Something started happening to his face. I said, what's wrong with him? He started looking almost demonic. I realized maybe I talk too much. I'm falling in love with this young man.
Amen.
He knows if he needs anything, I'm going to give it to him. He texts me. I'll wake up in the middle of the night to see about him. Cam, did I go to your school when you was in grammar school to check on your conduct? Yes, sir. Did I pull your grades?
It was on work day, wasn't it? I took off work to check on you. And I told the principal, if there was ever a problem with him, don't call his mom. She needs to work. She's a single parent. I need her to make her money. I'll take that hit. I said, Principal Fields, you call me. And I'll be here within 30 minutes. And you know what? I never got a phone call. If you think that you show up at those schools and place an institution, don't you think that those kids will be treated differently?
Amen.
He said, I never had a pastor come here in this capacity. That never happened here. I said, well, get used to it, so I'm coming back again. And I checked on every youth we had at that school. And then the deacons came and we sold into that school, adopted that school, and made sure they got resources they needed.
Amen.
Because we support one another.
Amen.
Clap!
Amen.
And I'm very good, but I'm sorry. That young man and my son sent me a picture. A sizable check. Someone sowing into him so his dreams can manifest.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You know what he says, Angie? Pastor Greer, when I get on my feet, I'm going to take care of you.
Amen.
I'm no man. This is what I want you to do. You get on your feet, you take care of your family.
Yeah.
I gotta stop. I can keep talking. I just don't have time. I gotta stop. I wish I could mention all your names. Stress, having chest pains, didn't want to tell anybody. I found myself on this side of the church. Claire hugged me. She said, Pastor, don't let these people worry you. We need you.
Amen.
And I took the words to prayer. Lord, don't let me be worried. Teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to depend on you. I'm tired of operating my own strength. I need your help. God gave me strength. God gave me help. Because I wasn't too cocky to ask for it. God will help if you ask.
Yes,
he will. Hey! What are you doing? When my enemies came to lie, James, and criticized and lied on me and talked about, God give me strength. The people I hurt have money and try to hurt me. I said, God give me strength. The people I raised from a youth got to be adults and walked out my life. I said, God, give me strength. James was dismissed from the hospital from a triple bypass heart surgery.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
All I wanted was a truck. That's all I wanted, to do some ministry, to serve the community. James, on bed restrictions, under doctor's care, who should be on bed rest, said, pass them on the way. I said, James, you're going to sit your butt down somewhere.
All right.
I got this. But the fact that he would risk his health
all right.
to be a blessing to somebody else.
All right.
Sometimes, Brother Joe, people do stuff in the church. They gotta have a check. It'll work if you pay them. But if you ever come here and see that concrete power wash and clean engine, it's because of that man. Doesn't ask nobody nothing. Doesn't ask for a check. All he wants is to beautify this campus and use his gift.
Amen.
That's the kind of energy I need. Partnership creates strength. Partnership creates support. And lastly, partnership creates synergy. Synergy is there's a greater impact when everybody do a task as opposed to one person doing a task. One prayer would chase 1,000 to flight. Two prayers would chase 10,000 to flight. That's the energy we need.
Yes.
Amen.
We don't need that energy coming in here and doing disrespectful things and bragging about it. And then when they realize they're wrong, they won't use the same energy to apologize in the same place they made a violation.
All right. All right.
This act of service takes humility. You have to be humble. Can't be cocky. Can't be arrogant. Can't be egotistical. You have to realize that you'll be up today and down tomorrow. Get ready to go to my seat. I'm on y'all time. I'm going to my seat, Santa. I'm going. Amen. After you've been somewhere 20 years, you can steal a little time.
Amen.
After you've been somewhere 20 years, you can rob a little time. It's not like I ain't been recruited. It's not like other people haven't reached out to me. This is my assignment, and I take my assignment seriously. And they're right, Brother Joe. And they're right, Ms. Ruth. I owe it to this church to be the best pastor I could.
All right, pal.
Because y'all got me to where I am.
Thank you.
I can never, and Lord knows I'm happy where I am, but I could never get here without Salem Baptist Church.
Amen.
Never got here. Never got here. Never. Walking around in other meetings and different spaces, doctor come up to me, Pastor Greer. Yes? Man, I hear about you almost every night. Okay. Always good. Oh, Kathy talk about you all the time. Her pastor, her pastor. She's always working. Very seldom she's here. But even though she's not here, she's uplifted the name of Jesus in our ministry.
All right.
We all thank God. Amen. I'm going to leave here better. I feel better just preaching it.
Amen.
I'm going to leave here cleansed, refreshed.
Yes.
I don't care what you say. You'll never get to walk out here and say, Pastor Greer, I don't know what you think about me. I'll tell you exactly what I think about you.
All right.
And some of you have said exactly how you feel about me. I believe in being transparent, honest, at the same time. If I can help you, I can help you. But if you don't want nobody to tell you anything,
By all means. You want to live based on people's opinion and not have your word of God? If you want to operate church where you base upon how you feel and you don't put in the weight on what God says about his church, it's not my problem. Really, you're not my responsibility at that point. I can't shepherd anybody who don't want to be shepherded. I can't pastor anybody who don't want to be pastored. But some of y'all should leave here today and understand that regardless how you feel about your man of God, God put him here. And if you attack the man that God placed here, then you have removed the hedge upon your life where God protects you.
Yes, God.
Thank you for the one
yes,
name.
Amen.
I'm trying to help you. I don't want anybody to live a lesser life than me.
Amen.
If he blessed me and he had it,
yes.
He will bless you too. Walk upright.
Yes, Lord.
Be humble. Be respectful. Take on the mannerism of Jesus Christ. Walk in his virtues and his principles. He will take your life and make you an iconic figure of what it looks like to be blessed.
Yeah.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.